she worked, when she was too short to wash dishes, she had to stand on a milk carton. The tank is too tall. So all my kids worked. They did dishes, bus table, checkout, hostess, and then graduate to be a server and eventually manager.
Wow.
So they worked alongside with me pretty much most of their young adult life.
Welcome, and thank you for listening to the NextGen podcast, a conversational series with members from Energen Wealth Partners at UBS. With an understanding of the family dynamics that can accompany multi-generational wealth, we are experienced in working with you and your family to develop a strategic plan to guide your decisions. Our approach helps provide education across generations to help define and support your long-term vision for your wealth.
Welcome to the NextGen podcast. I'm your host, Brandi Rochelle, financial advisor with Energen Wealth Partners at UBS Financial Services. Our office is located in Dayton, Ohio, and you can reach us at energen@ubs.com. This episode is a celebration of grit, growth, and generational inspiration. We're diving into the story of a mother and daughter whose shared passion for hospitality has left a lasting mark on the Dayton region. Mary Miller began her journey in the restaurant world decades ago, building a reputation for hard work and unforgettable food. Alongside her, often behind the scenes and sometimes right in the kitchen, was her daughter, Kelly Andary, watching, learning, and eventually stepping into her own spotlight. Today, Kelly is the proud owner of the Blueberry Cafe, a beloved local favorite that continues the tradition Mary started, while also carving out its own identity in a new era of dining and community connection. In this episode, we'll talk about the early days of Mary's restaurant ventures, the lessons Kelly absorbed growing up in that world, and how their shared values have shaped not just a business, but a legacy. Mary, Kelly, thank you for being here today. Welcome to the podcast. So Mary, I know when I talk to a lot of people who are from the Dayton area, one of their fondest restaurant memories was going to the Barn Cider. Can you tell me a little bit about the early days of the Barn Cider, when you opened it, what the concept was when you opened the Barn Cider?
Well, actually, to open the Barn Cider, it wasn't my intention to open the Barn Cider like American food. I intended to open the Chinese food, Chinese restaurant, but it didn't work out. So it was like a last minute thing. What happened was I had a Chinese chef all lined up to be a partner. This is kind of small story. He discovered that the location is going to be underneath a funeral home.
Oh.
When he found out that, he said, no, it's bad luck to have a restaurant. So he ducked out the last minute. I mean, we got checks printed, name picked, and we had an SBA loan.
Wow.
So after he did that, I just thought, well, you know what? I can't just have somebody change their mind last minute and deter me from doing something I wanted to do. So I thought, well, I'm still going to do it. So what I did, I went to work and acquired a job in Cincinnati at a restaurant, Chinese restaurant. And hopefully I can learn American food. I don't need that gentleman as a chef. So I went to work there as whatever they need. I told them why I want to work there. I want to open my own restaurant, and I want them to allow me to do whatever in the restaurant, and they agreed. So I did serving, and in time, they taught me how to tend bar. I got good with the cooks, and they even let me in the kitchen try to cut up things. But it's a Chinese and American restaurant. So I got to learn mostly to run the restaurant and not so much the food part. In the meantime, I have an old friend, family friend, who had operated restaurants in Toledo, Ohio, for many years, very successful. And he agreed to help. He said, if you want to do it, I'll help you. So the food part, I don't worry. I just want to see if that's what I really want to do, if I'm able to do it. So after, I think, 6 months of driving to Cincinnati.
Wow, long drive.
Yeah. I think it was five or six days.
Wow.
And I decided that's what I wanted to do. So that's how I started to do a barsider type of restaurant.
Wow. And the original restaurant, when you were going to open up the Chinese restaurant, do you remember what that name was going to be?
Yeah, it was going to be called Americana in American, but it's Chinese name. It's just translation of Canada and United States because I was Canadian. So
wow.
That's is a kind of nice name if you write it out in Chinese. But it's in American, and it was going to be called Americana.
Americana.
I got checks made out and everything.
Wow.
So junk all of it.
But now when you're looking back and where you opened the Barnsider, do you think a Chinese restaurant would have done as well as the Barnsider did?
I would think yes, but maybe not as big. It ended up that I enlarged twice. But with the Chinese restaurant, looking back, I think it happened for the good. Because if he's like that, he could have any other reason. And then I'll be hanging, in the middle of all that. So in a sense, it was good that happened that way.
Absolutely. And that's something, so early on in the restaurant business, you learned to pivot, to change the last second, to do what needed to be done.
Right. But it turned out to be a very good thing.
Absolutely. I remember people saying that the baked potatoes were humongous. That
yes.
was a big thing. And then the prime rib.
Yes.
Those are items that you guys were well known for.
See, we have to buy the potato. It has to be a certain size. Or we cut it up for mashed potato.
Okay. So all the mashed potatoes were the discarded to-be-baked potatoes because they weren't big enough.
They're too small to be a baked potato.
That is amazing. So then you were so successful with the Barnsider that later on the opportunity for the Wellington Grill came along?
Well, that is because of my golf background. Isn't that funny? We were fine. Kelly was helping. It was as demanding of me as it used to be. So I played a lot of golf. But the story was, the Country Club of the North sent us invitations to join before they even opened.
Okay.
So you sending once, I ignored it twice, because at that time we belonged to, I think, two already, actually three. Dayton Country Club, Meadowbrook, and one in Florida. So I don't need to join another one. They keep sending and sending. I told my husband at the time, I said, they must need membership badly. Why they keep sending to us? I said, don't you dare. We don't need another one. So we didn't. But then when we got home, we drove by just curiosity, a girlfriend and I, look around, and we kind of liked it. And before you know it, they sent us an invitation for the first nine-hole opening. And Jack Nicklaus was supposed to be the designer. So anyway.
You can't not go.
Right. So we went, and my girlfriend and I, not telling our husbands, we joined.
Oh, no. After you told him not to.
Right. So we did, and we went home. Guess what? What do you do now? Oh, we joined CCN. So that's how then I decided to open one close where I play.
There you
People
go.
People might do things close where they work. I did the reverse. For me to drive that far either way, either live there, I have to drive, work here. So I thought, well, I move, join CCN, I move. So I built a house where I am now. The same, we big ground pretty much the same time.
Wow.
So that's how the Wellington, because I didn't want to drive all the way that far back to the Barnsider to work every day.
Right. So you brought work closer to you.
Yes.
Wow. So what are one of your fondest memories of the Wellington Grill? Do you have one?
Yeah, it was pretty much the kind of food I like. And it was fun, not too close to from home. I mean, at that time, it's 5 minutes door to door. Now right. It's not. So that was very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter, Kelly, and my other daughter, Natalie, they were in the vicinity. And they were, Kelly was at the Barnsider at the time. So Natalie helped me a little bit later on. But the most fun memory, I think, is that I, not only the clientele, but the food.
Yes.
I still miss my own food. Isn't that funny?
Yes. No, it just.
That's the type of food that I like to serve and I like to eat also. And I think that's,
you know, that's right? What you miss the most is the food.
Yes. People say, well, I still think sometimes, even my grandkids, oh, we can't have this, we can't have that. So I have customers, a few of them approach me, would you like to open a Wellington? I said, you got the money, I got the time.
There you go. So you're not saying no.
But I actually don't have the time. At my age, I don't think I should do much, anymore, anything else.
Well, when Kelly says that her memories of growing up at the Barnsider a lot, having birthday parties and going with you to the bank to make the deposits and all the things that she learned following you, did you ever expect one of your children to also go into the restaurant business?
No, because I discouraged them. I said, don't do it. You have a restaurant, you sleep there, you live there, you're married to it. Didn't I tell you that? Yeah, I said, don't do it.
She's shaking her head.
I always tell her she was lucky she had three because I'm the youngest. The other two.
Well, the middle one didn't. She helped a little when she was in high school. But then she went away ever since graduation.
Okay.
She didn't help a whole lot. But Kelly's a homebody.
So. She loves Dayton. She loves you.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yes.
Thank you. So she help out even sometime like Mother's Day, they come home from school and work.
Yeah, because that's your busiest day of the year, right?
Yeah.
Mother's Day, absolutely.
And she worked when she was too short to wash dishes. She'll stand on a milk carton. The tank is too tall. So all my kids worked. They did dishes, bus table, checkout, hostess, and then graduate to be a server. And eventually manager.
Wow.
So they work alongside with me pretty much most of their young adult life.
So what advice would you give somebody starting out in the restaurant business today? Is there a piece of advice that you would provide to them or guidance that you would say about not telling them not to start a restaurant?
No. I would say I would encourage anyone do some type of business, but any business, in course, especially a restaurant, but any business, I would say they should work for the place. I say while you work, you're learning, but somebody paying you. You can learn what's right for that business, what's not quite right, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, while people paying you. And also, I say if you start any business, start small.
Yes.
You can always grow bigger, but to shrink is not so good. So I always encourage people that work for me.
Yes.
Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I said, great. But don't just say you want to do it. You have to think about it. Make sure you do want to do it. How do you know? Go try it. Go to that kind of business and work.
Right.
That's not going to be your job, but at least you educate yourself while someone's paying you.
Yes, get some experience before you are the one signing the checks.
It's great to have your own business.
Yeah.
You learn a lot with people, working with people, from your employees, from your guests. You learn a lot, actually. But I'm too old, I don't remember much what I learned.
Well, you've been in the business for a while, and you've seen a lot of change, not with just the city of Dayton and the area as it's grown over the years, but you've also watched technology change over the years. How do you feel that technology has helped the restaurant business? And how do you feel like maybe it's not helped? It's actually made things harder.
Well, I think technology helps any business. But me, I'm an old person. I refuse to learn. So for me, that wasn't good. But then I hired people who are able to do it and want to do it. And kids today, they know. My grandkids show me how to use my cell phone. So to that regard, I can't say a whole lot. I think it's helpful. I can see things are so much easier. Just for instance, keeping your daily sheet. My bookkeeper and I use a desk like this, and we'll be doing like this sometime all day, just work on the daily, what we call daily, what you record your sales and all this and that, and the time the employees pay time card.
Yes.
Tickles all day, two people.
Yes.
Now, they should push a button. Record the computer spit out all the information, right? See, I don't know how to do that. Now, I should learn, but I kind of not want to learn. That's not the good part of me. Yeah. I don't like to submit changes.
You had opened the Wellington Grill because it was closer to you, but then you also opened Harrison's, which was even farther away.
See, everything just happened, not planned. And that happened because my accountant, I've been for now, it's like 40 years. And one day he called, he said, "Mary, there's a piece of property out for sale. Maybe you should look at it." I said, "Where is it?" He said, "Tip City." I said, "Ooh, I don't even know where Tip City is." I didn't then. He said, "Well, you should look at it." So I took Kelly, I took my other daughters, and I think my brother, Raymond, and I think might be a couple of employees. And when I look at the property, and they were still operating at the time, and I went in, everybody shook their head. Terrible. There's a hole in the wall. Really don't like it. And I understand why they feel that way. I swear I ordered a sandwich. The bread didn't even meet. A sandwich, right? Bread?
Uh-huh.
The bread was like this.
Oh, no.
Right?
I don't remember that.
I see. I remember everything. So they all shook their head. "No, I don't want this. It's this and that." I said, "Well, I think I can do something." So they all say no. Everyone, all my at the time, I think my mom, Kelly, my other daughter, Natalie, my brother, and I think I took an employee.
Well, you're forgetting that I had just opened a restaurant.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, Harris, Blueberry.
The Blueberry was open at that same time that you were looking at opening Harrison's.
Yeah.
Like literally, we opened 2004 and Harrison's opened 2005.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and they didn't like it. I say, "Well, I think I can do something with that." So we went back again, and they still don't like it. So I told my accountant, I said, how much did they want? And he said, "Well, I don't know, but if you're interested, I look into it." So he did, and he told me how much. I don't remember now. And I said, "Go ahead, off them a little bit lower."
There you go.
He came back. He said, "You're the fifth person on a waiting list." I said, "What?" I said, "Nah, I don't wait for anything. Forget it." So I didn't. 6-8 months later, he called. "Are you still interested in that property?" I said, "Why?" He says, "It's available." I said, "What happened to the other 4 or 5 people?" They said they didn't come out with the money. I said, "Okay, now you offer them a lot less."
Oh, nice.
So he did, and we were able to acquire it. And then the next day I call him. I said, "Since you found a place, you want to be a partner? You really mean it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll let you know tomorrow." So what happened? He went home, talked to his wife. He called me first thing in the morning. He said, "If you still offer, we'll take it." So how then? We had an extra partner.
Wow.
My brother and I and Mark.
That's it.
But it turned out to be a pretty nice location.
Yep. So that's the only one that's out of the Barnsider, the Wellington, and now the Harrison's. The Harrison's is the last one still open.
Yes.
And then you did a little bit different American fare food with the Harrison's versus the Barnsider and Wellington.
Well, at the time, it was like the Wellington. I think Barnsider and Harrison. Harrison, pretty much family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was against my grade. I wanted to be Wellington kind of food.
Upscale.
And my brother and some local people said that Harrison needs to have that kind of food. And they were right. I would be wrong.
Of course, you were busy with my stepdad. Was not doing
that's
very
right.
Well.
He got sick at that same
time.
Yeah,
he was ill. Actually, he passed away the month we opened.
2 weeks before.
2 weeks before?
We opened.
Yeah.
We opened during Tip City has a festival every year called Mum Festival, and it's at the end of September. And my stepfather passed away on September 16th.
Wow.
So, yeah. That year. So, it was kind of tough because mom was obviously at the hospital every day. And then we were trying to open up this restaurant 45 minutes from where we lived. And then I had a new restaurant. So yeah.
That was a crazy time.
That was crazy.
You know what? Maybe because at that time with all this going on, I really didn't remember all that much.
Yeah.
I just remember crying while I was working.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we would see customers from the Barnsider or just anybody that, you know, would come to see the restaurant, and they would just ask how my stepdad was, and that would start the waterworks.
Tears, yes.
It was okay for a lot of the time, though, because we were new in town, so you could kind of forget about the sadness for a minute and then just work until someone that you knew came in, and then that was the end of it. But
started all over.
Yeah, that was a rough time.
Yeah.
It was 20 years ago this year.
Wow.
That's how I think I'm not remembering a whole lot. That two, three weeks. I worked there for a month. Then I went back to work at Wellington.
So if we were to go to Harrison's today, what do you recommend that we would, what should we order?
For myself? I'm a meat person, steak, and I like the pork chop. I like the steaks. And see, I'm not much with pasta. Chinese food is my first.
Yes.
Then steaks.
Then steak.
So you talk about pasta and hamburger and those things. I'm not their fan of. But we saw a lot of them. So obviously a lot of people.
Do you like them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're doing pretty good.
I heard the fried pickles were a big, big hit at Harrison's.
I never tried it. Have you?
That was a new ad like 6 years ago. But it's things that, as Chinese American, I've never had that kind of thing before. So I like it, though. They eat it. Everything with ranch.
Everything
that's
with
fried,
ranch,
they eat it with ranch.
And
we make our own.
With ranch.
So, yes, pickles and ranch.
And I heard the pork chops were
very good.
Very, very good.
I would, in fact, if you try it, it's different than. It's really tender because we buy special kind of pork. It really is very good.
Awesome.
I think that's my favorite
item there.
Item at Harrison's. I love our chicken wing.
Okay. Chicken wings and pork chops.
Yes.
And fried pickles.
Well, that's theirs, not mine.
We're going all in. So then, Kelly, as you grew up in the restaurant industry and then you were helping your mom out and then you decided that you kind of wanted to do something. I heard Cold Water Cafe was an inspiration. We're talking about Tip City area.
Funny enough, yes. We had a server that worked at the Barnsider that lived in Tip City. And so she had told us about Cold Water. And so because the Barnsider was a dinner restaurant, a few of us, servers and employees would meet for lunch, and one of those was our favorite places to go. So I was familiar with Tip City more than she was.
I didn't know what Tip City was.
They were small then, too. At
yes.
the time, they were in a very, very tiny space. So when we opened the Blueberry, or when we found the Blueberry, it kind of, not as cute as the old Cold Water was, but it reminded me of the smallness, the quaintness of it. My uncle Ray, he wanted a place like Harrison's. And of course, we didn't have Harrison's at the time, but he wanted wings and pizza. It's something he's always wanted, like a sports bar type place. So that's what he had just moved to Bellbrook. And he was just telling me how excited he was that he had found this place and he thought about doing this. And I don't know how it started, but I hadn't owned a restaurant. I had helped run the restaurants, but I asked him if I could do it with him. And he said yes, but I don't think he realized that I was going to
take over his
change
concept.
The way, because we couldn't do the dinner restaurant. Because we worked at night. So this, we had to have a lunch, pretty much a lunch restaurant, and that was it. So to be fair to myself, we couldn't have really done a sports bar.
No, not open it, just
yes.
Breakfast and lunch.
Just
sports
breakfast
bar doesn't
and lunch.
Seem like it would work very well. So then you come up with the concept, and the name The Blueberry was a nod towards your dad, was it?
Yes. Well, so my stepdad, we were researching better foods for him to eat at the time. I had just kind of been looking, and blueberries were, I was trying to put colors and a fruit together. And when I read about it, it just kind of reminded me. So if you kind of look at our name, it really isn't a blueberry. It's a blue berry. It's four different words is our name, but that was just kind of a nod to what I was looking at when we were trying to look for better diets for him.
Lots of blueberry cafe. I love it. Now, when you look back at the experience of opening the original Blueberry Cafe, you tried to time it with one of the festivals that was happening in Bellbrook at the time.
Yes, they just had it last month, too.
Oh, that's fun. Looking back now, if you think about that opening day, and you guys, it was just you and your uncle at that point, right?
Yes, we weren't quite ready to open, but we had heard that there is a Friday night event that would make the whole parking lot full and people would be walking from through our parking lot to the park, and that we should at least have our doors open and meet people. So we had to one up that and offer some type of food. We didn't know if they would have vendors. That was 21 years ago, so yeah. It wasn't a lot like food trucks and things like that yet. So we opened the doors and we had a burger, Ray's clam chowder and his French onion soup, a salad, French fries, and a pork tenderloin sandwich. I don't know. It was just random. And people were coming in, and we were full.
Oh my
gosh. So it was
gosh.
My uncle cooking and me in the dining room. And we hadn't unpacked, like, salt and pepper. And we didn't know where the ketchup was. And I'd be like, Ray, I have a salad, and they want ranch dressing. And he's holding a bowl with a whisk in his hand saying, okay, just give me a minute as he makes the ranch dressing. It was definitely a fun night, but the town has been really supportive. That's why we've always wanted to stay in Bellbrook, because since day one, they've supported us being there. So we really like Bellbrook a lot.
Awesome. So what happened as we moved from one location to another, but we stayed in Bellbrook, right?
Yeah, so we kind of outgrew the space, and I didn't know the part about Barnsider and Mom wanting to open a Chinese restaurant. Thank goodness she didn't. I didn't know that part, but I knew that we enlarged once, but I didn't know twice.
Yeah,
we enlarged twice at the Blueberry. So, like,
wow.
The stories as she's talking kind of mirrors the journey of my first time opening a restaurant. So
yes.
We enlarged twice, but it really wasn't made to be a restaurant like that with that volume. So we started looking. We've been looking, but every place in Bellbrook needed either a lot of work or it just wasn't right for us. And so finally, we just saved and saved and saved money and decided to bite the bullet and find a forever place for us and put the money into it. And so we decided to move across the street from Dot's grocery store. So it was an existing restaurant, but it hadn't been a restaurant for years. So it needed everything redone.
Wow.
And so that took a full year.
Wow. See, now that was amazing. But in the meantime, so you've since opened a second location in the old Golden Nugget restaurant?
Yes, that is a blessing. So the vice president of real estate at Wind Supply, our landlord, they purchased that building in October 2023, and it kind of just sat on it waiting to find the right person to go in there. But that VP actually lives in Bellbrook, so he had been a customer of ours, but I had never met him. So he came in one morning. It was December 19th, 2023, that same year. And he asked us if we would consider moving, putting a Blueberry in that building. And we said, no, thank you. That we were staying in Bellbrook. We're very loyal to Bellbrook. But that was, you know, a nice compliment to ask us.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it doesn't hurt to look. Why don't you come and see? And I said, we're moving across the street. We don't have it. I said, I'm in my 50s. My uncle's in his 70s. We're not ready. We just don't want to do
80s.
It. Yeah.
And,
yes.
We were going to say an age, but yes.
We said, okay, we'll come look. And so we went on the 20th. This is 5 days before Christmas. And we looked at it and we said, you know, it's really nice, but it's just a little much out of our price range. And he said, listen, all you have to do is bring the groceries and the staff and we will take care of the rest. We own a construction company. We own a lighting company. So they took care of everything. But we weren't really sure, what are you here for? Are you wanting to be a partner or,
yeah,
you know, what kind of landlord are you going to be? And they said, we're not in the restaurant business. We want to keep this a restaurant. So we said, if we said yes, that we would put 150% effort and that we promised them that we wouldn't fail and that they would be happy with their investment in keeping that a restaurant and not, there were talks of it turning into a gas station. It's a beautiful restaurant. The kitchen is amazing. The Thomas family that owned the restaurant prior really put a lot of heart and effort into it when they rebuilt it from a devastating fire that they had. So they've kept their word. They had us open. Remember how I told you it took a year for us to move across the street?
Yes.
They had us open in 54 days.
Wow.
And that is a top to bottom LED lighting, new flooring, handmade booths. They painted the outside. They ordered signage, had the signage up. They bought us a brand new double decker oven that we could use to only be able to bake 18 muffins at a time. And now we can bake 18 pans at a time.
And these aren't regular size muffins. Let's just put that out there, too.
Yes.
They're muffins that are the size of your head.
Size of your head. Pancakes are size. We're a little, like, we're, everything's kind of blown up. And the funny thing was, is our plates were so big and the restaurant was so tiny all those years. But that's how we came to Kettering. So we feel very, very lucky to be there. And our landlords are amazing, both of them. So
that's
it's been
wonderful.
A good journey.
Yes. I was going to say, the muffins are things that I hear about the most, and then the pancakes, the size of your plate. That is awesome.
Yeah,
and there's almost always a wait because you guys are so good, and you guys do make everything there in-house.
Well, my mom and my uncle really taught me how to do things the best that we could. The funny thing is that I went to college for marketing and advertising, and mom always taught me that the best way to have your restaurant be successful is word of mouth.
Yes.
So we have zero advertising budget since I've been running the restaurants. I think Wellington maybe did a few, but Blueberry is
not. I don't advertise.
Yeah.
I advertise from within.
Yes.
You treat the guests right. You have food. It's good enough for me, good enough for you. Not good enough for me, don't put it out there.
Absolutely.
And that's my rules or thumb, how to guide my way of doing business. I spend the only time I so-called advertise is like local school, like they want you to put a banner up in the gym or something. I do all that.
And sponsor.
It's just to support the local school, churches, or any charity. But other than that, I don't like to buy like a ad.
Yeah.
Because anybody can buy ad.
Right.
You can say anything you want. But you have to prove, you know.
Yes.
So I rather spend that money in the house.
That's great. That's funny that you went to school for marketing and then you just don't do marketing because you know the right way to grow the business is through word of mouth.
I was very lucky with the mentors that I had. My uncle taught me everything in the kitchen and mom taught me everything in the dining room, but they both had me learn everything so that I could be well-rounded and know what to look for. And it's been a journey because I did 30 years out in the dining room. And then just since 18, did I have to come out and go into the kitchen and really learn how to run a kitchen and do all the facets that go into that.
But that's something to be proud of, that you, whatever opening there is, you can step in and keep the business going.
I did in 2018, I think. My uncle was sick with cancer. He's doing much better now. Good. But I told him that I would take care of the blueberry and that he would not have to worry about it. But I remember going into that staff, and I had not worked there anymore. I was working at Harrison's. And I was trying to tell a cook how I wanted things done. The menu was still mine. It was still my place, but I wasn't present there. And he looked at this new cook that I had just hired, and he told that cook that he didn't have to listen to me because I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, wow.
And that was probably, I think, maybe his last day of work. But that was all I needed.
That was the motivation.
That part, I think, I get from my mom.
Well, I always say, I know every job in that restaurant. I might not do as well as the chef or the dishwasher or the grill cook, but I can do it. Not as fast, not as well, but I can do it. So whenever someone threatened, I'm going to quit, three doors, which one you choose to walk out. But if you don't know how to do anything, and there they are, if I leave, you're going to lock the door.
There you go.
So another thing, too, for anyone interested in business, you have to know, at least know a little bit, and then you have to continue the education yourself. So no employee going to tell you, if I walk, you lock the door. Uh-uh.
Nope.
So that was going to be my advice for anybody. You see a lot of chef-owned businesses or front-of-the-house-owned businesses. My mom and my uncle really did well because they had both sides covered. And, you know, that with that being family, I think that's why you see a lot of family businesses do well, because they don't just leave and you can trust them.
Yes.
But with mom not knowing computers, we were always worried about that. So we had to find the right staff because you can really
pull one over on someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you know how to do everything well, or at least to get through the day, the empowerment is crazy great. And the work attitude of everybody on your staff is, you get a lot of respect that way, because I don't mind to go and wash dishes to get through the day, and I'll do it better than anyone else, and I'm very proud of it. So I think you got to make sure that you're not above, you don't let yourself be above doing all the jobs in the restaurant, and that every job is like very important.
Right, that it all works together for the success of the business.
But also, you know, if employees see that,
right,
let's say they're in a pinch, they see that you can step in. You're not too good to go and do whatever. That they give you a lot of respect.
And yeah, you have a lot of staff that have been with both of you guys for a long time, right? Because you've kind of brought them into the fold as family. You guys have a lot of staff that's with you.
They are like family to us.
Steve worked there how long?
Since he is 15. So.
He's 50 now.
Oh, wow.
He runs our restaurant in Tip City, yeah.
He never had another boss.
That's it.
He might have. Right. Like
he did. Well, he worked side jobs.
Yeah, side job. But I hired him as a busboy.
At 15.
Yeah, I forgot what year. I sent him to Sinclair to take the culinary class.
That's
we
amazing.
We paid for him. So he just told me that, I've been with you since I was... And
he doesn't sound like that, by the way.
That's her. In case he ever sees this.
All men that she impersonates sound like that.
Yeah, he's been with me a long time.
He's worked at every restaurant.
Yeah. Well, I got three servers with me for a long time. Barbie, Tom, and Mark.
That speaks very highly of you.
That's a lot. And another two more guys in the kitchen. Tommy and that Scott. Tommy been with me three, Barnside at Wellington, Harrison. Yeah, all three restaurants.
Wow.
So, yeah, I have people work for me for a long time.
That's amazing. And you guys have done a good job of giving back to the community, like you said, through sponsorships for the schools and for the churches. And then I know, Kelly, right now the Blueberry has been doing a lot with the community.
When I worked in Tip, that was one of the things that I wanted to do, just kind of be involved in. To me, that was the best marketing and advertising you could do. But we got heavily involved with Pink Ribbon Good, At the time, it was Pink Ribbon Girls. So we do try to do more with them than it's, I call my host organization that I like to pay back every year. But I try to do something once a month, whether it be for a staff member or one Bellbrook or Kettering now. We try to do something every month is the goal.
Wow. So this year was your year as a family celebrating, was it 50 years
yes.
in the restaurant business?
Yes.
Shoo. So we think any, or we've got the Blueberry still, we still have Harrison's. Where do you see the future going from here? Do we think there are going to be future generations that are interested in restaurant or?
I think not.
No.
I have my sisters, that two little sisters that they're not little, 24 and 19, that run our Bellbrook location.
Okay.
They're learning. They've been with us for several years. The little sister actually is the one that brought on her older sister, but they've been actually just celebrated their 1 year of running the restaurant on their own.
Wow.
So they probably are our future. We have a lot of long-term employees from Bellbrook, so hopefully, but no more.
No more restaurants
no more.
Right now in the works.
Yes.
No. You guys have definitely learned a lot in the history there from the Barn Cider to the Wellington Grill to the Blueberry and Harrison's. You know, you guys have done a lot for the community and you have a lot of long-term customers and long-term employees. So thank you so much for taking the time to share the history with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
What a powerful story of passion, perseverance, and passing the torch. A heartfelt thank you to Mary Miller and Kelly Andery for joining us on the Next Gen podcast and sharing their incredible journey. Their story is a beautiful reminder that legacy isn't just about what we build. It's about who we inspire along the way. Until next time, I'm Brandi Rochelle. Thanks for listening and keep celebrating the stories that shape our future.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. To learn more about our team and to join our exclusive educational events throughout the year, check out our website at advisors.ubs.com/Energen. If you have any suggestions on episodes you'd like to hear, let us know by emailing us at energen@ubs.com. And if you liked this episode, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to hear more. This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we recommend listeners to obtain appropriate and independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct our business and that you carefully read agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products and services we offer. For more information, please review Client Relationship Summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.